We have Mr. Sampson. And you recall that the last time that we got together, Mr. Sampson in chapter 14, Sampson was going to get married, ran himself into some trouble, left. They gave his wife to the best man. And you know, I hate to buy all those flowers and things, nice dress, and then not have a wedding, right? So they just handed her off, kind of like a baton. Well, it came to pass, well, Sampson went home. He went to his father's house because he got mad. Remember what we learned about Samson. He never learned self-control, self-discipline. And it is going to cause him trouble his whole life. Now, we're going to see some good things about Samson here, interesting things. And last, and I was humbled very greatly. Thank you very much, all of you. Last week, about 500 people shook my hand and said, "You skipped a verse. You're trying to get out of something, aren't you?" No, but I did skip a verse. What's happening is I'm older now. And when I looked down, it wasn't there. Oh, it's there now. It just wasn't there then. And so, we want to go back and do one verse. And I was proud of you because I thought, that's good, man. They're not letting the pastor get away with nothing. I love this place. Gives me another week. No, I had beautiful notes on it too. I wish you could have seen them. But when you look down and you look up and you look down soon, when you look down... Well, the pulpit's taller than it used to be. I'm going to have to put the Bible down further. It's the pulpit. It's not my eyes. Right there is perfect. Craig will take care of that. Anyway. His father and his mother, Samson, didn't know. His father and his mother did not know, verse 4 of chapter 14, that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, Philistines had dominion over Israel. The Philistines were overruling Israel. And it doesn't teach you that Samson had no choice. It teaches you that little did Samson realize that even in his disobedience, God still could work. Now, how do you explain that? You go to Romans chapter 8 and you read this. All things, I'm just going to paraphrase, you can read that whole chapter because it all fits together nicely. All things work together for good. We know that. That all things work together for good. To those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. In other words, He can even take something that I went a wrong path. God, if I am willing, can even use that. God is always working behind the scenes. Sometimes in front of the scenes. And you'll notice that even though the world today, the world leaders, are working against him, interesting that they are playing right into his hand, into his plans. That's what that verse is teaching us. Not that poor Samson, he had to go marry a Gentile, and he had to do this because God, no, what happened was because he didn't have the self-discipline, he went and got himself in trouble, and God used it. God will use everything in my life if I will allow him to and listen to him. Even the things that aren't pretty, even the things that are rough and ugly. There. Now we can do chapter 15. Tough job. Well, it came to pass. Remember, he left angry and his wife was given to somebody else. So it came to pass within a while after the wedding, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. Not with a child, but a little goat. I think, you know, that was worth something back then. I think that's like a huge box of chocolates, or even possibly the equivalent of 2 dozen roses, bringing a little kid. You brought that to a woman now? I don't know, you know. Well, I brought you a goat. I could see what her dad would say. I wish you could hear it. It's funny. Yeah. And Samson visited his wife with a kid. He's kind of being a peace offering, and going to go visit. He said this, "I'm going to go to my wife into the chamber." But you see, her dad wouldn't allow him to. How come? Well, her father said, I thought that you had hated her. I thought you just changed your mind and you really didn't want her at all. And so I gave her to the best man. She's married. She's not your wife." What a not normal neighborhood. He says, anyway, her younger sister is so much better looking than her. Why don't you marry her instead? It's just like marriages nowadays, isn't it? Well, that one didn't work. Let's try that one. And Samson said this concerning them. Listen closely. "Now I will be blameless, more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them displeasure. Samson said, I'll say that in American. Samson said, this means war. This is not right. What you did is not right. What you have done, the logic behind you guys is just wrong. This is not anything like God would say. This is war. He used this as an opportunity not to get back at her father or her or the family. He did it to get the entire nation. This means war. And Samson went out and caught 300 foxes. Some of your versions may say jackals. It can be translated that way. He caught 300. How did he do that? I don't know. Maybe he used a rope. You notice how we are? We're so cool. How can you catch 300? That's impossible. Well, have you tried it? Well, how do you know it's impossible? Well, then tell me how he did. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he went and 300 came. I don't know. But I do believe he did it. Because God can do anything. And he got 300. Don't tell me it's impossible. Samson did it by the power of God. He caught 300 of these things. And he took firebrands, little torches. He tied them tail to tail and tied the firebrands to them. Now, what would that cause the two animals to do? A couple of things. Number one, try to get away from each other because their tails are tied together. That's a bummer. And number two, get away from the fire. Right? Now, they've got a torch tied to their tails. They're trying to get away from each other and get away from the fire. What are they going to do? They're going to run haywire, aren't they? And they did. As a matter of fact, when he set them, the firebrands on fire, they're the brands on fire, Bible says he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines. He hit them right in the stomach. See? He hit them right where it's going to hurt. In the food. The crops. He's going to get more than just a few Philistines now. He's going to affect the entire group of them by hitting them in the tummy there. And he burnt up the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. So he really just set the place up ablaze. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" Of course, they were mad. And the answer? Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite. Hey, he's not the son-in-law of the Timnite, remember? The Timnite married the best man. Samson's the son-in-law of nobody. He didn't get to get married. But you see, when you're mad and you go to war, anything is fair. True? Look at this, everybody. And if you're taking notes, you're welcome to write this down. Some of you, I have learned this the hard way. Some of you have too. We can choose to sin. Now, you and I belong to God, but we can choose to sin, but we can't choose its consequences. Isn't that true? I can choose to sin right now. I can go out right now and choose. I'm going to set this guy's car on fire. It makes me mad. But I cannot choose what will happen. Will he come and shoot me with a gun? Will he sue me at court? Will the police come after me? I can't choose the consequences. God only knows at that point what's going to happen. Now, Samson is angry, and he sets everything on fire, and the Philistines are mad. Who did this? That son-in-law. He has taken his wife and given it to the best man. So they went to the Philistines came up, went to her and her father's house, and burned them with fire in the house. Burned the house down with them in it. Do you remember the last chapter? They came to this woman and they said, if you don't find out the answer to this riddle, we'll burn you, your house down, with you and your father in it. And so she tricked her husband. She whined and moaned. And he told her, and remember he said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't know the answer to this. Remember? Satan is a hard taskmaster. For those of you who want to keep serving him. Because they said, you do this, or we'll burn your house down with you in it. How did she die? The very way they threatened to. There was no getting out of it. If you're going to hang out with those kinds of people, if you're going to serve the devil, you're going to get something that you don't want. The very thing that she was afraid of came upon her. You'll see that other places in Scripture. We can choose to sin, but we can't choose its consequences. Many of us can say, yeah, amen. That's the truth. We sin, And boy, now we're in it for the long haul and there's no getting out. And look at this. Here's another thing I think before we go into this, to the compromise. They went and burned her house down. Now Samson said to them, now he got mad at that. Well, you guys, I really liked her. Though you have done this, yet I will be avenged of you, verse 7 says, and after that I'll stop. Okay, set everything on fire. Their crops are ruined. They come back and they burn down the house with mom with dad and the daughter in it. Now she's dead. Samson's mad again. Now he goes, and what does he do? He smote them hip and thigh, that's with violence, in a great slaughter. And then he went down and he dwelt at the rock of Edom. He says, you know what? Yet I will be avenged. I will be avenged of you, and after that I'll stop. See? You get into a situation, you've sinned, you've been disobedient, you can't choose the outcome. You notice how it's escalating. And Samson, foolish enough to, all right, I'm going to just do this one more thing, then I'm going to stop. No, you're not. You're not going to be able to stop. You're in there and you can't choose. The choice is no longer yours. You're stuck with this, Samson. You now, there's no way out, but as a matter of fact, death is coming. Some of you are doing the same thing. You're choosing to sin, but the outcome, you're not enjoying that part. And all of a sudden you're saying, okay, well, so and so, he did this to me. I'll do this to him. He did this to me. I'm going to get him back this one time and I'm going to stop. No, you're not going to stop. Because you can't choose the consequences. Samson says, I'll just do this thing and I'll cease. And he goes and kills. He takes on some of the army is what he does. And he kills them. And he goes back to his little place up at the rock at Etam. After this I will cease or I'll be finished. No, you won't. Sooner or later you and I must listen to God and become obedient. Because you know what it's like. You're seeing the consequences and you didn't get to pick them. You don't get to pick them. Now's the time to stop. Humble yourself. Repent. And say, Lord, from this day forward for the rest of my life. But it's got to be from your heart. It's got to be Spirit-led and it must be real. You can't play a game with this. Poor Samson. And he's being used of the Lord. It's not that God doesn't like him. He's being used of the Lord. He's really a thorn in the flesh of the Philistines. And now he murders or kills quite a few of them. And what happens? He goes up to the rock at Edom, back well into their property, into his own property. And he says, okay, no, I'm finished. You're never finished. Have you ever practical joked with somebody? It's the same idea. You put toothpaste in their shoes. Ha ha. And they put their shoes on. They put honey in your underwear drawer. Not just one pair of shoes now, all the undies. Ha ha. You went to their house, broke every mirror. Ha ha ha. This is getting funnier. They went to your house, had your car towed away, $100 to get it back. We're having a ball. You buy a gun and kill them. They never end, do they? They always build. It's rare to see them not build. The only way that they don't build is when one of them is mature enough to go, this has gone too far, I better quit it. Right? Who's got that kind of maturity? Not too many people we know. Friends, I've known friends who don't speak to each other anymore. They were practical joking. They still, to this day, 20 years later, don't speak. I'm going to kill him if I ever see him. You know what he did to me before? He set my house on fire. Well, he did. Well, yeah. Well, see, we were playing jokes, and I went and I had his electrical where he'd turn it on, and it kept sparking and setting things ablaze. That's funny. I don't know why he didn't think it was funny. Samson's learning, once you declare war, you begin to disobey God, you declared war. And once you've declared war, you're not coming out. You're not going to come out. You're going to ride this thing to the end, and it might not be exactly where you think it's going. Stop now. Just stop. Humble yourself. We all need to do and say, Lord, I stop. I'm going to lay right here. I'm going to confess it to you, and I won't go from here in that direction or in that condition anymore. So Samson says, I'm going to just do this, and I'm going to stop. What happens? Well, Philistines went up, and they brought the entire army, a huge army against Samson. They went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. They came out in battle array. We're going to have all-out war. This is an army coming against who? Samson. This thing's out of control. This is gone too far. And the men of Judah were scared, the Bible says. And they said, why are you come up against us? We didn't do nothing. What's wrong? Why is your army out here ready to fight? My gosh, we pay our taxes. We're doing right. And they answered. Verse 10 says, we've come to get Samson, tie him up, to do to him as he has done to us. What did he do to us? He killed a bunch of us. We're going to kill him. And then 3,000 men, verse 11, of Judah, they went to the rock of Edom, and they said, Samson, do you know that the Philistines rule over us? Don't you know you're causing trouble? What is this that you have done? Listen closely. What is this that you have done to us? You're seeing now, we'll do it briefly. Now that you know that once you choose to sin, the consequences are up in the air, and you're going to get them. We're going to get them. We all get them. Now you see, we look at some steps into compromise. But I'm not talking about Samson now. Samson is sitting at the rock at Edom, back out of the way. The compromise that we're looking at is in God's people, the Jews. Although when you study this chapter, everybody continues to look at Samson. Samson says, I'm done. Okay, I'm finished with my part. I'm going to sit down. He doesn't realize, no, you won't sit down. This isn't going to end here. You're going to have to play this all the way. But in his mind, I've done what I need to do. I'm finished. Now the compromise and the three steps of compromise you're going to see come from the church, from Israel, from God's people, not Samson. Samson's there. God's people come to him. And number one, verse 11, tells you your first step in compromise. Chapter 11 says this. The 3,000 men of Judah came to talk to Samson. How many? 3,000. They said this to Samson. Don't you know that the Philistines rule over us? Stop making waves. The first step in the compromise that you see God's people, they accept the way things are. The spiritual status quo. Well, that's just the way it is. Samson, sit down, man. You're rocking the boat. Samson, do you know what you're doing to us? What did I do to you? I killed a bunch of Philistines. What's that do to you? Man, they're out there. What if they fight and some of us get killed in the process? Man, Samson, why don't you shut up? Why don't you just be quiet? Man, every place you go, you cause trouble for us. Don't you know that we're under them? They're in charge. That's the way God has it. So, Samson, stop rocking the boat. Have you said that lately to other Christians who see God puts it on their heart and they want to stand up and tell the world, you guys stop this. And you say, hey man, come on. You're rocking the boat. People are going to look over here at me and think I'm with you. Well, you are. You're married to me. Well, yeah, you go to church with me. No. I mean, people are going to think I'm with you. They're going to think I'm weird like you. Samson, stop it. Right? Do you know what happens? You know how you accept the spiritual status quo? You buy the lie of Satan, the enemy. And the enemy says, give up. Give up. Because things are never going to change. You hear him? Hear him lately? Have you heard him lately? Give up. Things are always going to be this way. You're wasting your time. Don't listen to God. Hey, you've been doing it for 20 years. Nothing's happened yet. Just give up. And you go, you know, I've been praying and praying and I'm still an idiot. It's just never going to happen. I give up. Now you've accepted the way it is. Once you accept the way it is, there's your first step down into compromise. And you'll be saying to others, man, don't share Jesus. Come on, just shut up. Why? I want to tell them Jesus loves. Man, you know what? All they're doing is making fun of you and me here at work. Just keep your mouth shut, man. You're making waves and you're just making it harder on me. Well, what am I doing to you? I'm just telling them Jesus loves them. Hey, man, just stop it. Samson, don't you know you're not supposed to be killing them? They run the place. The spiritual status quo. We don't really believe things will change, so we give in and we give up. Have you done it? You listen to God and you continue to walk with Him. And if no matter how you think it's never going to change your heart, you stay with the Lord and you continue on and don't you ever stop. Because He said He would change me. He would change you. He would grow us. You believe that. In faith, you walk. But the people have given up. So they're saying to Samson, don't you know the Philistines rule over us? What is this that you have done to us? Who do these compromisers, when you take the first step in compromise, who are you really worried about? You're not worried about Samson. You're not really worried about the nation. Who are you worried about? Me. What if they attack my house? I haven't even cleaned. What if they come in? Oh my gosh. Well, they could come over here and take my car from me because you stop it. Me. First step in compromise, I just worry about how me is. It's amazing. And it doesn't even seem right. But you'll notice that these people are saying slavery is preferable to freedom. You notice that? That's the words. They're not using those words, but they're saying, Samson, stop it. Look, they're out there ready to fight. You see the trouble you caused? What are you doing, Samson? You're rocking the boat. Now stop it. Samson goes, I didn't do anything. What they did to me, I did it back. Eye for an eye, so to speak. I mean, that's what God wants. That's what I did. What did I do? They're worried about themselves, and they're saying, we would rather be slaves. Everything's cool. Everything's all right. You're rocking the boat. Now they're coming out. There could be war here, buddy. And it's your fault, man. And I don't need this right now in my life, okay? My stress level is at this. Hey, just quit it. And so, slavery is better than freedom. Now, who would want to remain a slave? And, of course, my old favorite here, compromise is always more comfortable than commitment. Are you comfortable? Everything going well? Oh, don't quite have enough, as much money as we could use, but you know, gotta sit down, read a book, watch TV, have some pizza. Things are cool. Semi-comfortable. Hey, we could use some help. Oh, man, you know, I just need to relax. Right? And people head for hell. And the enemy comes in like a flood. And people are hurting. And people are in need. And ministry needs to happen. But we're tired. We just want to put our feet up. Like to read, you know, like to... Just need to have that time. Just a little time. That 2 to 3 hours it takes to read the entire CDA press. Because there's so much in there for inquiring minds like ours. The weather is in there. I need to know. Because if it's going to snow tomorrow, I need to know why. So I can whine and moan and say, oh, it's going to snow tomorrow. Because it didn't change anything when I read it. Of course, it's never right, praise God, but... Here's a statement that I wrote in my Bible a long, long time ago. For every bit of convenience, we give up a bit of freedom. For every bit of convenience I want, I give up just a little bit more freedom. Now, on the other hand, with every freedom I have, freedom carries with it responsibility. If I'm really going to remain free, it gives me more responsibility. Not more kickback time, but more responsibility. And the more free a nation is, the more responsible it is for that. But every time I give up and take a little bit of convenience, freedom is lost. Well, yeah, I know that they have information on me, but I'll just use this. And now we're convenient, but we're not as free. Compromise is always more comfortable than commitment. Are you comfortable? Are you seeking to be comfortable? There's nothing wrong with relaxing, and there's certainly nothing wrong with resting. I've done it. I did it last month. But when you have to rest 8 to 10 hours every day, you're just comfortable. Israel's in trouble. And you'll notice that they've taken the first big step. And the second step in compromise, the first step is to accept the way things are, spiritual status quo. Second step, we'll find it in verse 10, right above. The men of Judah said to the army that had come out, Philistine army, probably 3,000 to 5,000 men had come out against Samson. They said, "Why are you here against us? Why have you come out to fight? Gosh, we've been busy doing everything we do. We don't even understand what you're doing here." They send a delegation out there to say, "What's the matter? Why have you come out against us? What have we done?" And the answer, "We have come to get Samson." So the second step in compromise is simple. Once you take the first step and you're saying that's just the way it is, the second step is the enemy begins to ignore you, which makes it a little bit more comfortable for your life. Now the enemy ignores all of Israel. The enemy says, "We're not here to get you. We got you in our back pocket. You're no threat. We want the one person who is causing all the trouble. In the whole nation of Israel, we have come out 3,000 to 5,000 of us to get one guy, because that person is really upsetting the cart, so to speak." The enemy begins to ignore you and I when we've taken that first step into compromise. We've said slavery is preferable to freedom. "Oh, just let me be a slave." Fine, I got you where I want you. If I need you, I'll pull your chain. Right? If I need you, I'll just say jump and you'll ask how high. Because I got you. But I don't have that Samson. You can't seem to stop him. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and nothing stops him. We've got to stop that somehow. The enemy is only interested, listen, in the troublemaker. Satan is that way. Pastor Chuck, and this isn't real, he just uses it as an analogy. Obviously, I don't believe Satan does have this list, but the idea is very good. Pastor Chuck says Satan keeps a list of three kinds of people. Those that are his, those that belong to God that are no problem at all, and there's a third list I think every one of you wants to get on, and that list is the ones he's got to shut down somehow, some way, on an everyday basis. Ones that he is coming after full force. Which list are you on? I'm non-Christian. He belongs to me. There's Christians, but they are useless. They're comfortable. They're going to serve God 10 years from now, they think. They're going to always out there. Don't you worry, they'll be there. But then there's that group, there's the Samsons among us, who the enemy says, "We got to stop them. We have to stop them today. The enemy is on them now." The enemy ignores you and I once we've stepped into compromise. Why? Because we represent no threat. We are no threat to the camp of the enemy. Jesus said, "You go and tell the whole world about me. Tell them the good news. Freely you have received, freely you give. Tell them all." That was the command, that was the call for each one of us. He says, "Go." And even the gates of hell cannot stand against the church and the gospel. Take it offensively, out. Second step of compromise. And here's something that that you see. The enemy ignoring the compromisers. They come up and they talk to Samson. The enemy has ignored them. We're not here after you. We're after Samson. We are coming to get him. Now see, here's the way it's going to go. Either we will go through you and get him because you're just in our way. Or you just get out of the way and let us get him. And the people say, well, we got no quarrel with you. We're Christians, man. We're happy, healthy, and whole. And go get him. Just don't cause us any trouble, right? You need to stop and think about. You have seen Samson powerful with the Spirit of God upon him, haven't you? I mean, powerful. The guy's unstoppable. He's going to prove that in a moment. How many people came from the children of Israel to yell at Samson, to rebuke him? You remember what your Bible says? 3,000. Okay, now figure that out. You got Samson, who could take the whole army single-handedly. You got 3,000 men who could back him up, like throw the bodies out of the way. And you got God Almighty. You have a pretty powerful army here. It's like God's assembled an army. Come on, Samson. You lead us. We'll go out there. We'll take him in our street clothes. Instead, because you're compromised, the thought of entering into the battle and having victory doesn't cross your mind. This is not our battle, dude. They're here to talk to you. Ooh, I'm glad I'm not in your shoes. They want to talk to you. See the weakness? See what compromise does for you and I? Well, he said, Samson, they said, what are you doing, man? He said unto them, as they did to me, so have I done to them. Verse 11. Now, verse 12 says, they said to him, we've come here to tie you up and turn you over to the hand of the Philistines. Here's what we've come to do, Samson. They came out against us. It scared us. We went out there and said, what do you want with us? What are you doing? What have you come against us for? We're not coming here against you. You're not a problem. We want the troublemaker, Samson. Samson, just to keep all of us from having any hassle, we're going to tie you up and turn you over to them. Third step in compromise. Number one, you think it's never going to change, so you give up and you just accept the way things are. Number two is the enemy begins to ignore you. You're not a problem. We got to get to the real troublemakers. And number three, you then, once you're ignored by the enemy, begin to do the enemy's work for him. Imagine being a child of God in Israel and working for the enemy. They're going to turn him over to the enemy. Enemy doesn't even have to lift a finger. We'll go get him and bring him to you. And Christian, it is possible that you can and I can compromise our lives, our walks. But we step into compromise and the enemy has now left us alone and we're literally doing the enemy's work. We're standing against people. We're a stumbling block to them. We're always in their way. Somehow they have to get over us and around us to really get ministry done. And then they say, well, you're this and you're that. But you see, there they are doing the work of an enemy. That's the third step in compromise. You do the enemy's work for him. There are no non-combatants in spiritual warfare. In other words, everybody's in the fight. There are no conscientious objectors. You are in the fight. It's just that Jesus says, you're on one side or the other. I'll read it to you in his words. Matthew 12:30. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not gathering with me is scattering abroad. You are in the fight. It's not like, well, I better lay back. See, those children of Israel, they're in the battle. They're just on the other team. All of God's children are doing the work of the enemy. Don't be caught serving Satan and call yourself a child of God. And we all can slip into that very easily. And it takes compromise. I think what you're seeing in the church basically is what's going on there. Another statement that you see here, or that I have written here, is because you're doing the enemy's work for him. Because these children of Israel are getting Samson, turning him over, they're doing the enemy's work. You'll notice that compromise is defeat. They've lost already. They're wasted. Compromise destroys me. I've lost once I compromise. I'm defeated. And the enemy is running things at that point. And I like what Samson has to say. And before we go on, remember the three steps. Step one, accepting the spiritual status quo. Step two, the enemy begins to ignore you and I. Step three, we turn around and begin to work for the enemy. We become literally against Jesus. Instead of spreading the gospel, we turn and we're trying to hinder ministry in the gospel. Now, they say, we're going to tie you up. Now, can you, don't visualize, but you got to think like I do. Just for a second, can you picture 3,000 men there? Now, these are the men of Israel, right? We're going to tie you up. And Samson says, okay, who's going to try? Bill, you do it, okay? Because I got a wife and kids. Not touching him. Let's both do it together. No, I can't. My back's really been hurting lately. Who's going to tie up Samson? None of us are the 3,000. Would you? You know why? Because we're afraid. Because we know we're compromised. We know we're not in God's will. And they say, Samson, we're going to tie you up. So Samson asks an interesting question. Samson said to them, swear to me, promise me, that you will not fall on me yourselves. Now, that's King James language. In American, he says, you got to promise me, guys. Now, you're going to tie me up. You got to promise me you won't try to attack me. Because there were 3,000 of them. Samson was afraid, right? I don't think so. I think Samson was saying, I'm going to have to hurt you. There's only 3,000 of you. So you got to promise me that you won't try to attack me. You're my brothers. We're family. We're relatives. I don't want to have to do this, but I'm certainly not going to, you know. You got to promise me that you won't try to do any harm. Samson would have defended himself and probably taken out 3,000 Israelites. Because he was God's man. And God was using him. And he knew it, as a matter of fact. You're going to see it in his prayer. I think that you are the same way. I really do. Men and women alike. I think when the Spirit of God comes upon you, I am convinced nobody could stand in your way. Nothing could stop you from the assignment God has given to you. Now, the assignment might be to battle 1,000 Philistines or a few thousand Philistines. Or the assignment might just be to go out and check to make sure that the cars are all right. But by the power of God, I think nothing could stand in your way in Jesus Christ. Nothing. I'm convinced of it. And I think that since we've really begun to think that way and say, Lord, you wanted us to do this, we're going to do this. When we went into Sudan, even though it was like pulling teeth, God got us in. And there was a lot accomplished because we thought, what's going to stop us? If God be for us, who could be against us? You, in your life, wherever you at, where you work, where you go to school, where you're ministering, if you're filled by the power of God, by God's Holy Spirit, nothing is going to stop you. There's nothing to be afraid of, but you got to walk in obedience. And when we catch ourselves in disobedience, we confess it quickly. We don't let it stop us for 3 days and get bummed and have to wear sackcloth. No. This is the New Testament now. God has sent Jesus. The price has been paid. Forgiveness is now. When you sin, you confess it. 1 John 1:9. You just confess and you get up. God dusts you off and you keep moving. And don't let that stop you or hold you back, or you're going to compromise. You're going to step in. Don't do that. And so Samson says, promise me that you're not going to attack me. And they said to him, no. Who would? Right? No, but we're going to tie you fast. We're going to deliver you to their hands. But surely we will not kill you. And they tied him with two brand new ropes. Brought him up from the rock. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, verse 14. Now, can you imagine? There's 3,000 men. Your hands are tied behind your back. You're walking out with 3,000 men leading you to your certain death. Your brothers, friends, God bless them. I've had friends like that. And in front of you, 3,000 to 5,000 screaming Philistines, we got him, yay! And they just yell. The Spirit of God came upon Samson, and it was the Popeye syndrome. You ever get that feeling? That's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. That's what the Bible says, only that's a paraphrase. The Bible doesn't say Popeye anywhere, I think. But you see, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and the cords or the new ropes on his arms became as flax that was burnt. Have you ever had little threads hanging off your clothes and you took a little match and held it up there? What happens to it? You ever see that? You ever try it? It evaporates, doesn't it? It disappears. That's exactly the language that's used. His hands were tied with brand new ropes, and when they yelled, the Spirit of God came upon him, he just went, uh-oh, his hands are loose. Now, I know what the 3,000 men of God, or men of Judah did. Look out, he's loose! They cleared out. Because, you know, well, listen, you think that's funny, and I say it funny, but with those guys laughing in your face, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and you saw that kind of power, what do you think is going to happen next? He's going to grab a stick or something and start a fight. I'm going to think, we better get out of here, or we're going to be right in the middle of this fight, right? What do you think the 3,000 men did? Shoshu. That's a move in karate, you shoshu. Go. So it's a move I learned right away. It works. Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and those cords broke like they weren't there. And he just happened to find the jawbone of an ass. God uses those well, doesn't he? Put forth his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Oh my goodness. Imagine if he'd have been in a worse mood. You 3,000, where are you? I mean, can you imagine? The Spirit of God comes upon him. He kills 1,000 men better than any of those dragon movies that you used to watch. You know, the guy's wounded and he takes the jawbone of a donkey. Fresh. And he killed 1,000 men with it. Can't be done. Try it. It's a miracle. That's power. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That kind of power is yours. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, that kind of power is yours to preach the gospel. But you feel inadequate, and you're letting your feeling rule. That kind of power is yours. To stand up and say, Jesus loves you. And then the guy says, I hate you. Don't say that to me anymore. You still have the power to stand there and say, but it's true. When David Wilkerson went into the barrio area, the ghetto areas in New York, and he found Nikki Cruz. Nikki said, I'm going to cut you up with this knife into 1,000 pieces. Then that man of God, this before he had any sense, said, in all 1,000 pieces will still love you. That's the power of God. What do you do to something like that? You can't kill something like that. It just doesn't work. You can't stop it. It's power. You have that power if you belong to Jesus Christ. Don't walk around weak. Because the Spirit of God came upon Samson. The Spirit of God lives in your heart all the time. So Samson kills 1,000 of them. And when he was... Then Samson says this with the jawbone of an ass. Heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of an ass. I have slain 1,000. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he threw the jawbone away. Gave the place a name. And he was... super thirsty. Well, you know, after you kill 1,000 guys, you're really just worn out. He called on the Lord. Samson prayed after the battle. You have given this great deliverance into the hand of your servant. Listen to the heart. You gave this to me, and I am yours. I am your servant. You called me from the womb. I belong to you. You gave me this victory, and I am thankful. Now, I'm going to die of thirst here and fall to the hand of the uncircumcised. I'm so thirsty, I don't think I'm going to make it. And you know, there are more of them. I killed 1,000. There were probably 3,000 to 5,000. When he killed 1,000, most of the others ran away. But they're still around, and he's saying, I'm going to die here. I need water, because if they come back, I don't have what it takes to continue on. At least that's because he didn't quite understand. But God cleaved out a hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came water there out in the rocks there. When he had drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called this place that name, which is in Lehi to this very day. And notice, from this point on, it looks like the Bible's telling us, verse 20, he judged Israel the days of Philistines 20 years. From this point on, they've got 20 years. The Philistines still rule. But there are 20 years where the Philistines have backed off, and for 20 years it's kind of a peaceful thing. It's not over yet. But there's a time of peace because there was one man willing to step out of compromise and stand and fight, stand in the gap. If your life today is compromised, don't walk around, I'm so bad. No, that is false humility. Stop and say, no more. By the power of God, you've given me your spirit, no more. Let me serve. I want to stand. I want to be your servant. You've given this victory to your servant. Let me be. There are victories. There are armies to be defeated. The battle rages. There are no non-combatants. We're all in. You just have to determine, will I obey and follow by the power of God, or will I compromise and begin to do the enemy's work? Each one of us needs to make that choice. I want to encourage you to choose to serve God in Jesus Christ. He loves you. You say, oh man, you ought to hang out with me for a week. My life is... Well, God bless you. It may be rough. When the disciples were in the boat, they thought they were going to sink. They thought they were going to die. And they were expert fishermen, many of them, used to that kind of stuff. They woke Jesus up and said, you got to wake up. We're going to die. No, if Jesus is in your boat, oh, you'll get soaking wet. You might even swallow some water. But you won't die. Peter walked on water, and when he fell in, because he looked around and said, man, it is rough here. Oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. And as he sank down, he said, Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus took his hand, and Peter turned with Jesus, and they walked on water together. You forgot that part, didn't you? Walked back to the boat. He got soaking wet, probably swallowed a little water, got scared, but he was still okay back in the boat. Maybe you're getting wet. Maybe you're even swallowing a little bit of water and you're thinking, I'm going to die. I'm not going to pull through. You just stick with Jesus. You just listen to Him. He loves you. Trust Him. Don't try to figure Him out. Don't try to figure out 3 years from now the next move. Just trust Him. Stand in the strength that He's given to you. Stand. And listen to Him and read your Bible. And love each other. That's the hardest part. Let's bow our heads together as the praise band comes back. We'll just praise a bit before we close, and we'll bow our heads. And this is the time when you and I just bow before the Lord. Your whole life can change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Just right now. This is the time. Don't miss it because you don't know the words to the songs or you don't know what you're supposed to do. Just be at peace. Sit there and listen to the Lord. Praise, worship, or just cry out to God. Listen to Him. He will fill you and you'll be strong. And you can take an entire army if that's what God wants for you to do. Or you can live through this crisis you're in. I know He can do it. I know He can. Let's pray.